you are never too young to start investing. But it can be intimidating, with experts seeming to speak a whole different language. While not everyone needs to make a career out of it, some young people don't even know where to start. The Answer could be a resource for you. It's a website offering young people knowledge and advice to invest successfully. Joining us now is the founder of The Answer Is, David Jenkins. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. Thank you very much for having me.
Why did you start this? What was your vested interest?
Well, it's my attempt to give back, actually. My father was in the RCAF, the Air Force.
Yep.
And he died in the line of service. And so my mom raised four boys on her own. But part of the benefit package was that we had our entire university paid for. Tuition, books, we were paid to go to school.
Wow.
And so because of that education and some good luck, I've been very fortunate. And so this is my attempt to try to give back to all Canadians.
So you have built this site. I've checked it out. Who are you focused on? Who are you trying to speak to?
It's primarily targeted towards the younger generation, 18 to 35, is most applicable. Although what's interesting is I get people signing up, they register, and a week or two later, I see their parents registering. So,
wait, that's not allowed.
I know, it's interesting because the kids are bringing their parents.
Get out of the rec room,
exactly.
Kids' space. What about it is unique in the space that and different from all the other blogs and all the other newspapers and all the other everything that's already out there?
It's really designed to share just the basic amount of knowledge that you need to invest. That's my argument. You don't need that much information to invest. And it's more about the aptitude or headspace to be able to successfully invest. And I share strategies and philosophies primarily through story. So it's not a technical site. I tried not to make it a boring site. So the stories, by and large, are short and impactful. And I think that's what makes it a little bit different.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, sure. One of the stories on the website is Sue. She's 25. She's graduated. She just started working. She decided she's going to start saving $200 a month or $2,400 a year. And but then she says, you know what? I might just wait 1 year because, you know, I like to go out on Thursday night and Friday night. Or
wow, go Sue.
Exactly. I like to have my tall cappuccinos with whatever. And she says, you know, I've earned it. I'm going to wait just 1 year to begin my investing. Well, by waiting that 1 year, Sue will have forfeit $99,000, which is more than the 40 years of $2,400 she was going to invest. So simply by delaying 1 year, it becomes extraordinarily expensive. So basically, Sue's fallen into the youth trap, as I call it, which is, failing to invest today because you'll get to it tomorrow.
You will get universal head nods for that anecdote. One of the other pieces of the puzzle, though, that might not get universal head nods is number two, beware of financial advisors. What do you mean?
Yeah, okay. So basically, the cost of advice is very significant, and it's very valuable for some people. If you have zero interest, zero aptitude, zero knowledge, and you don't ever want to get involved, I would strongly recommend finding a good qualified financial advisor, primarily charging on an hourly basis as opposed to percentage of assets basis. But most fund advisors, like mutual funds, for example, the average fee in Canada is over 2%. And it doesn't sound like a very big number, but 2% over a long-term investment horizon can chew up over 50% of your portfolio value just by itself, just the fees. And so the cost of fees is a very major consideration in any young investor's life.
Mm. Puzzle piece number one, you say mankind. I'm going to say humankind.
Okay.
Because it's my preference. Humankind's greatest discovery. I don't know what that is. What is that in an investment context? Is it fire? is it sourdough bread?
No,
or chocolate? That's what I would nominate.
It's more mundane than that, unfortunately.
Okay.
It's, and actually, the label came from Einstein. And Einstein, as many of your listeners will know, is probably the most renowned physicist of our time. He gave us, you know, theory of special relativity, general relativity, quantum physics.
Is that why I should forgive his use of gendered language?
Perhaps because it was before his time,
right,
we have to cut these people
time.
A little bit of slack.
Yes.
But anyways, so Einstein's the source of it. And basically, he's saying that compound interest is mankind's greatest discovery. And I guess the reason why I sort of add that to the website is you don't have to listen to me or your professor or anybody else about what's the really important ingredient of investing. But you might want to just stop and think about what Einstein said, because he's arguably one of the most intelligent people that ever walked the planet.
One of the ongoing debates that people, young people have is, well, everybody has, but young people in particular, is whether they should focus on a TFSA or an RRSP when it comes to saving for retirement. Where do you lean?
Well, for young investors, I'm pretty clearly on the TFSA side because until you max out, the order of importance, I would say, is you max out your TFSA and then you would max out your RRSP and then you would begin your non-registered accounts. One of the major reasons you'd go TFSA is there's quite a bit of flexibility in it, which is also one of the drawbacks of going with your TFSA. But also it doesn't impact your OSA or your old age security.
Yep, OAS.
Way down the chute. So TFSA, I would say, is first, followed by RRSP.
Risk and you is another piece of the investor puzzle. By the way, for you, you have to go to the site to see how this all comes together. But they're actual puzzle pieces, and they all fit together. Risk and you is one of them. What do you want young people to know about risk?
Well, risk is kind of like a pretty boring topic, quite frankly. But
not if you're bungee jumping and skydiving and parachuting. That's awesome.
You should take that into consideration for sure. But, you know, part of the headspace about risk and volatility, quite frankly, is to understand the difference. Mm. A lot of people think risk and volatility is the same thing. It's not.
How would you define the difference?
I would say this. Volatility is not risky unless you begin to sell or you need to withdraw money.
Right.
So, but risk is a permanent loss of capital. So if you can put yourself in, as a young investor, if you step back and say, I'm going to invest for a minimum of 10 years, preferably longer. I'm only going to buy large capitalization ETFs that are well diversified. Then you've managed to mitigate the majority of risk. And all you have left is volatility. But at that point in time, volatility becomes your friend, because as the market drops 20%, right, the shoes you're going to buy, you know, at $100 are now $80.
Right.
You can buy those ETFs at $80 instead of $100.
And when you look at the chart, it looks like a jagged mountain range, and that is as it should. So a market pullback shouldn't make you upset.
No, it really shouldn't. As a matter of fact, we should really fully expect over the course of an investment horizon for most people, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, we should fully expect drawdowns or market declines of 20 to 50% at least two, three, or four times.
Well, and we're in a ridiculously long bull run. I can't believe that it hasn't happened sooner. Something's going to happen. Who knows if it's a year or 5 years down the road, but markets don't go up in one onward march higher indefinitely.
Correct. And I echo your comments. It is going to drop. It'll drop 20 to 50%. That's one of the only guarantees I will give. I have no idea when it's going to happen.
The answer is the site. David, thank you for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you very much for your time, Bruce.
David Jenkins is the founder of The Answer Is.